Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time Congregation. I was out at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is August 24th, 2024, or it is the 20th day of Elul, 2028. We will start new service here. Railway to Heaven.
Not as light a mountain railroad with an engineer that's great. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fill the tunnel, never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Help me reach that blissful shore that the angels wait to join us in the grace more. You will roll a praise of triumph. You will cross the bridge of strife. See the Yahshua is your conductor on this lightning train of life. All is mine, full of obstruction. Do your duty, never fail. Your hand upon the throttle, your eye upon the rim. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Help me reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in the praise forevermore. He will often find obstruction, the first storm and wind and rain. Gonna fill a curve of trestle, they will almost ditch your train. Put your trust alone in Yahshua, never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Every reach that blissful shore that the angels wait to join us in our praise forevermore. As you roll across the trestle, standing joy and swelling tide, you will behold the Union Depot, into which your train will glide. You'll meet the superintendent, Yahweh and the Father with the Son. With a hearty, joyous plaudit, welcome pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Help me reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in our praise forevermore.
Taken from 12 Symbolic Code number 2. It is the title is When and How the Work is to be Finished, Signposts Along the Way. Very good. It says the sermon selected for this issue of the Symbolic Code was delivered by the Vicki Harlot on July the 20th, 1946. Revelation 10, 5-7. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea, and upon the earth, and he lifted up his hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of the Yahweh should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophet. For the angel swore that there should be time no longer. I think I understand how we as Seventh-day Adventists interpret time no longer. But these two verses, when read together, clearly show what kind of time is to be no longer. For it is during the time of the sixth trumpet that the angel said, there shall be time no longer, but that at the commencement of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of Yahweh shall be finished. What is the mystery of the Yahweh? It is the work of the salvation or the gospel work. Then during the period of the seventh trumpet, there will be no mystery yet to be finished, for it is to be finished during the sixth trumpet. For the angel, therefore, is to be understood as stating simply that probation the probationary time will extend only through the sounding of the sixth trumpet. And that is all, because the mystery of Yahweh is to be all finished at the time that the seventh angel begins to sound. Now, we wish to ascertain what period we are living in. At the sounding of the sixth trumpet, the four angels are to be let loose, and they are then to kill a third part of men. And their army, moreover, is to number 200 million horsemen, and that many horses, making it 400 million. 200 million from heaven, that's your horsemen. And your horses here on earth are 200 million people, Yahweh's people. Since no such thing as this has ever happened, it therefore speaks for itself that the sixth trumpet is said in the future. It has not yet commenced to sound. In the view of the fact that we are not living in the sixth trumpet, let us ascertain whether we may be in the sounding of the fifth trumpet, or whether it too is yet in the future. Revelation 9:1-6. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from the heaven unto the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of the Yahweh in their forehead. And unto them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, and he strucketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. We do not know as yet of a man who really wishes to die, and yet cannot die. For there are a great number of ways that he can end his life if he so chooses to do it. Since this scripture says that in the fifth trumpet, some men will seek death, but death will flee from them. We know that we have not yet come to this part of the fifth trumpet. With this fact in mind, we may next ask ourselves the question, has the fifth trumpet even started to sound? As the fifth angel sounded, a star fell from the heaven. And the star is called the helm was given the key to the bottomless pit. And when he opened the pit, smoke ascended out of it. I do not think we can understand whether or not the trumpet has already sounded, unless we understand what the smoke and the pit are. In Revelation 20, we find that the devil is to be cast into the bottomless pit, and he must remain bound there for 1,000 years. For we as the Adventists have been taught that the earth is the bottomless pit, as a prison house for the devil during the millennium, and that the angel who has the key to the bottomless pit and who chains the devil there for 1,000 years is the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh. If the Yahshua is to have the key at the commencement of the millennium, then he must have gotten it some time before. Our subject for today on the trumpets may throw light on that. For the Revelation 9 says that locusts came out of the bottomless pit after it was unlocked by the star which fell from heaven onto the earth. And the Bible calls Yahshua the bright and morning star. From our study until this point, we may conclude that the star in the fifth trumpet must represent Yahshua, but let us now further check our interpretation to see if it is correct. For the star being designated by the pronouns he and him, and its coming to the earth from heaven, clearly identifies the star as a heavenly male being. He also had the key with which to open the bottomless pit. When he opened this, smoke and locusts came forth out of the pit, showing also that the pit had been a prison house for the locusts until they were released for the command to the locusts was that they should hurt only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh in their forehead, which shows that they were friends unto Yahweh's people, since it is the devil's aim to hurt Yahweh's people. Then the locusts, having been freed by the star and commanded not to hurt the seal one, shows that they were friends of the star, and the star was a friend unto them, and therefore the star could be none other than the Yahshua. Our next step is to ascertain who the locusts are, and when the Yahshua released them from the bottomless pit. In Revelation 12, we have a description of the dragon at the time that the Yahshua was born, for he has seven heads and ten horns, signifying that all the kingdoms, ten horns of the world, and all religions, seven heads, were serving the dragon. Had he not conquered the Jewish church too, he could not have had seven heads. When the dragon conquered the Jewish church, Yahweh's people, at that time, that gave him seven heads, the very fact that the Jews were the ones who had Yahshua crucified furnished the evidence that the Bible correctly pictured them exactly where they were with the dragon, seeing then that the devil had all the religions of the earth and all the kingdoms of the earth represented by the seven heads and ten crown horns on his head. And how much was not the devil? It was all good. This being true, then for Yahweh's true individual people within the church, the earth had indeed become a bottomless pit, a prison house. There was only one way of escape for them, and that was for the star to come down from the heaven and open the pit. That being true, then whom do the locusts represent? The apostolic believers. The fifth chapter, therefore, sounded when the Yahshua came nearly 2,000 years ago. We find ourselves, therefore, living in a period of the sounding of the fifth chapter. The apostolic and typical apostolic period, before the sounding of the sixth trumpet. But now in this period, before the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, some men are to seek death, and they will not find it, and would desire to die, and death would flee from them. They just could not die, for they would be immune to death, since we understand that Yahweh is going to find a living church besides those righteous who are lying in the grave. Then from that also we can easily conclude that if these people during the fifth chapter could not die, then they will live to the sixth trumpet too, and never die. To find out what will make these men immune to death, we shall refer to Revelation 7. I doubt that we need to read the chapter because every one of us is so well acquainted with it that we can almost quote it verse by verse. For you recall that there were four angels stationed on the four corners of the earth, and they were to hold the winds from the blowing on the earth, and the sea, and the trees, until the servants of the 144,000, first fruits of the harvest of the Adventist church, are sealed. For when the winds are loose, they will hurt. If they receive the seal, though the winds will blow, that they will not hurt the sealed one, for they have received perfect and absolute protection from all harm. Let us read about a man who long ago received a seal of the protection. Genesis 4:15. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Cain slew Abel, his younger brother, and therefore he deserved to be slain himself. He did not deserve life any longer. But Yahweh said that if anybody dare kill Cain, sevenfold vengeance would befall him. For Yahweh put a mark upon him for the safety of Cain. And so long as he had the mark, no one should dare kill him. What is the mark? You may say that the mark is as much as an angel guard present all the time. But Yahweh set a guardian angel with Cain to protect him from anyone killing him. Now we come to another mark of truth that describes in Ezekiel 9. In this chapter, Yahshua calls the angel who had charge of the city, showing that they had charge of the city, perhaps in a way similar to the charge of the angel over Cain. These six angels who have charge of the city are called to come forth, and one among them is seen to have a rod of acorn, and he is to set a mark on every one that sighs and cries for the abomination. When the marking is done, then the five other angels, which have the smaller weapons in their hands, are to spot everyone who has not the mark. This indicates that the mark in Ezekiel 9 is sure safety from the angels' slaughter. John, in the Revelation 7, says that he saw 144,000 with the seal of the Yahweh in their forehead. And since we understand through the inspiration that this sealing and marking are done to the same people, let us now see about this, what the seal is. To serve as an illustration, let us suppose that this book that I now hold up is an envelope. And let us also suppose that the slip of the paper which I have now in my hand is very precious to me, and I want to save it from all manner of defacement and destruction. Is it not reasonable that you expect me to put it into this envelope and seal it will to keep the paper from falling out. Moreover, if you do not want the wrong person to open your letter, you seal them. When Yahweh places the seal upon the 144,000, then nobody can hurt them. You see then that the women were held by the angels because of service. Yahweh were not yet sealed under the special protection unless they were the seal when the wind starts to blow. But Yahweh's people would be left utterly without protection from the danger of the hurting of the wind. Were the seal, however, before the winds blow, the winds could not harm them. Let us read now Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. For the people spoken of here were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise until the mystery of the Yahweh is finished, until the sounding of the seventh trumpet. In other words, they did have the promise that they were sealed for the resurrection day, but 144,000 are not sealed with the promise of the resurrection. They are sealed for some other promise purpose. They are sealed for the protection from the hurting of the wind. And so that 144,000 are not sealed for the resurrection day, but for the protection from being harmed by everybody and everything. They are alive at the time they are sealed, and the sin enables them to live on. And since the message that is to seal the 144,000 is here, we believe that we are now living in the period when the Yahweh is going to seal first 144,000, and when they are sealed, their destination is Yahweh, New Jerusalem, not the grave, and the resurrection. Having this explanation, let us now reconsider Revelation 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Is it not logical to believe that the reason these men should not die is that they are sealed by the Yahweh? What else can make men live on and on and on wanting to kill them? And who other than Yahweh can give life, and do you suppose that Yahweh is going to extend the life of the wicked? He promises to do that only for the righteous, those having a seal of Yahweh in their forehead. Then these that seek death and cannot find it are Yahweh's people. They are to live on and on for eternity. And what time will they be made vulnerable to death? our study today makes plain that it is during the fifth trumpet and before the sounding of the sixth trumpet that Yahweh is going to do this during the period of the fifth trumpet. Then the sealing of the 144,000 must take place in the period of the fifth trumpet and not in the sixth. It is then before the sixth angel sound that some will have the experience of seeking death and not finding it. This is a deep subject. If I am not making it clear to you, then you should ask questions, for it is very important. It is not a doctrine to talk about merely to pass the time. To repeat, it is in those days, in the fifth trumpet, that some will seek death and will not find it. In the Daniel's time, King Nebuchadnezzar approved a decree forbidding any man to make petition to any god or to anyone except him self 30 days, and further that if any should violate the law, he would be thrown into the lion's den to be eaten by the angry beast. Daniel, you recall, prayed to Yahweh as usual, and in that respect he was seeking death, for he understood that by the praying he was violating the law and that the penalty for it would be death. But when they threw Daniel into the den, what happened unto them? Death fled from him. So you remember that just prior unto this incident involving Daniel, the king of Babylon made a great image all of gold and gathered all his mighty men and all the people there and decreed that when the trumpet sounded, everybody must bow down to his image or be thrown into the fiery furnace to burn to death. Only three Hebrew men in the vast throng refused to bow down, saying that Yahweh, whom they serve, is able to preserve them. But if he chooses not to save them, they would be willing to die anyway, for they would not worship the image. As a consequence of the disobedience to the king's decree, the 3 youths were thrust into the furnace by men who themselves were consumed by the intense heat, whereas the boys came out of the furnace with not a hair even singed, nor was there the slightest smell of smoke upon them. This was another example of men seeking death and not finding it. Then we know of another man, Yeshua himself. He knew that he was to be killed. He did not hesitate to seek death. And in this instance, though, death did not flee from him, but the resurrection brought him from the grave. Then you remember that Paul knew that if he went to Jerusalem, he would not come back, for the enemies of the truth would stay, would slay him. Nevertheless, he went, and thus did he too seek death, but death did not flee from him, for he was killed. Throughout the Dark Ages, all who did escape or accept the gospel were seeking death, and they found it too. So we see that history in the period of the fifth trumpet discloses that up to this time, Revelation 9:6 has not met its fulfillment, that there will yet be a decree before the fifth trumpet end, that it's, if men dare to disobey, they must face the threatened penalty of the death, those, however, who have been sealed, when the decree comes, will seek death, and death will flee from them. Yahweh will not let them die. By the faith, it is not difficult to understand how this could be. For you know that if the Yahweh wills that you live, you simply cannot die. We already saw a demonstration of that in Daniel's time. Men's lives are in the hands of Yahweh, and if he chooses to preserve the lives of some, there is none who can snuff them out, not even the devil. A good example of this was furnished when the Yahweh made it impossible for the devil to take the life of Job. In the time of the fifth trumpet, the locust Christians were to torment or hurt only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh, and their torment was inflicted by the sting of their scorpion-like tail. Why? Though, should Christians torment anyone? Some may ask. It is not difficult to understand this when we recall that the Yahshua's own ministry was a torment unto the wicked. Though he was gentle, and though he healed all manner of diseases and made the common people rejoice in his work, there was another class that were made so miserable by his work, which was a continual torment to them, that they crucified him in order to eliminate it. Likewise, when the apostolic believers after the crucifixion became numerous, they too became an intolerable nuisance to the same class of the Pharisees, Sadducees. Indeed, throughout the history of the world, Yahweh's people have always been a torment to the wicked who wanted to stay wicked. It was the tail of the locust that did the hurting. Since the tail is that part of the body which follows behind, they would happily apply this happily symbolized followers. And if the followers are symbolized by the tail, then Yahweh's leaders, ministers, would be symbolized by the head. The followers are converts that hurt the opposers of the truth, and that tormenting will also be present in the sixth chapter. But then there is to be those mighty horses having the tails of serpents. People may not be so impressed with the locusts, but 200 million horses and horsemen would make 400 million, 200 million from heaven and 200 million here on earth would be very impressive. But the Revelation says that they would be present and working during the sixth trumpet. So what are we approaching? In just a little while, this period will begin. For it means that Yahweh's army will increase to 200 million strong. That will indeed be a great movement. In fact, the world has never seen anything like it, for they will not only be great, but they will also be invulnerable to death. For we learned that in the fifth trumpet, there were only 144,000 sealed lungs. But in the sixth trumpet, there are to be 200 million. Now, they want to know what is to cause the increase in the number. Let us turn to Revelation 7, 1-8. That's on page 16. 12 symbolic code number 2. We're going to continue on our Revelation 7, 1-8. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 for all the tribes of the children of Israel. For the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of the Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of the Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of the Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of the Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. For the 144,000 are sealed from the 12 tribes of Israel. Revelation 7:9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man's good number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robe, and palms in their hand. Now, at first impulse, you may tell me that I was wrong a few moments ago when I told you that the number of the Yahweh's army will grow from 144,000 to 200 million. You may say it because this verse says that there will be so great a multitude to be converted that they could not be numbered. But you must not fail to remember that Revelation 7:9 includes not only the 200 million horses, but also their converts, which are represented by the tails. When you add to 200 million leaders the number of their followers, you will have a number so great that it would be impossible in order to ascertain how we know that there are more than 144,000 leaders. Let us turn to Isaiah 66:12. For thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will send peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentile like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. This is talking about the church Jerusalem, the city. Of course, would be the purified church. This would be the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, then the house of David, and the 12th hour that we're in now. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. This is a promise which has not yet met its fulfillment. In the next verse, we are told that when Yahweh does comfort his people, it is to be a signpost. Isaiah 66:14. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of Yahshua shall be known toward his servant, and his indignation toward his enemy. For the Christian is really going to be converted, and their enemies are going to be tormented. Isaiah 66:15. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with the flames of fire. This is the reason that Yahweh will come with the anger and fury, Isaiah 66:16, for by the fire and by his sword will Yahshua preach with all faith, and the saying of Yahweh shall be avenged. The angels in Revelation 9 were to slay a third part of men. In that way, the slain of Yahweh shall be avenged. Isaiah 66:17. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden, in the garden, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, says the Yahshua. Those who pose as a Christian but obey not the laws of the Yahweh shall be consumed. Okay. Isaiah 66:18-19. It says, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations in time, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pearl, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto Tubal, and Avan, and to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, now they have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. For the Yahweh is going to come and slay many who claim to be sanctified, but are not obedient unto the truth. Those who escape will go to the nation that have not heard the truth. Let us discuss for a few moments what it is that seals Yahweh's people as a whole, as a body. You recall that in the days of the Joshua, the whole nation fell in defeat before their enemies. And Joshua prayed, and Yahweh revealed to him that there was a sinner in the camp, and that unless he were found and removed, Israel would never stand before her enemies. For this illustrates the fact that it is the removing of the wicked from the midst of the church that seals it, makes it able to live on. You see then that the church's danger lurks behind the hypocrites that are in it. For this reason, the winds are held until the first fruits are individually sealed, and when all the sinners have thereafter been removed, there will remain only the righteous, thus leaving a sealed church, a holy people, that Yahweh can put his angels round about to protect or seal against any molesting thing, and they are the men who, having escaped the slaughter, constitute the servants of the Yahweh whom he shall send unto all the nations for the proclaiming of his glory. Isaiah 66:20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations, upon the horses and in chariots, and in litters, upon the mules, upon the swift beasts, unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, said to Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel, into the house of the Yahshua. Do you not see how the work will be finished? It can be finished in no other way than by a church containing only holy people. In the words of Isaiah, they will bring all their brethren out of all nations in a clean vessel, meaning a clean church. And when they bring in all their brethren, it will result in a great ingathering of the souls. That is why there will be 144,000 leaders to start with instead of only 12. Isaiah 66:21. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Yahshua, of those that are gathered. Yahweh will take some for priests and Levites, that is, what will swell the force to 200 million horses, that riders are the angels, the riders are the angels, workmen, whom Yahweh thus described, would fear nothing, for they too will receive the seal of the protection that will make them invulnerable to death. How you should be able to see what a great people Yahweh is to have. Is it displeasing to Yahweh for any to urge his people to study the Bible, to obey his truth, that they may become the great people he has pictured them to be? Can it be? If it is not, then shall we be just like walls through which nothing can penetrate? I am sure that if we are Yahweh's people, we will be responsive to the revelation of his truth, and we will earnestly set ourselves for the business of the knowing his will and for the obeying it, that we may be his people. Men like that will not talk empty, vain things, but their words will instead be powerful, like fire, as smoke and brimstone. And speaking of the fire, where there is smoke, there is also fire. Since smoke ascended out of the bottomless pit, fire must have been in the pit, and as fire and smoke and brimstone issued forth from the mouths of the horses, what can it represent but the Spirit of Yahweh? For the gospel of is the Spirit of Yahweh, the gospel of the Yahshua? Is not the Spirit of Yahweh in a number of times represented by fire? Then, okay, for the smoke fittingly represents a complete sacrifice burned by the fire, consumed by the Holy Spirit. Have we yet made up our mind to sacrifice all, to be all for the Yahweh and none for self, not meaning that we must torture ourselves, not meaning that we must torture ourselves. For our closing thought, we should remind ourselves that the 144,000 were without gall in their mouth. And the Bible says that he that overcomes his tongue is a perfect man. And are we ever guilty of uttering statements before checking them for accuracy, for justice, for necessity of telling, for the edification? Let us learn to speak the right thing at the right time and in the right place. Having learned that, we will have become heroes, for it is a fact for at least some people to gain the victory on this point. They will have to make what was seen to be the supreme sacrifice. Let us not speak evil of the other people. Let us not speak discouraging, disheartening things. Always remember that the person who speaks thus invariably betrays their own low spiritual condition. This brings the end of Prayer Symbolic Code number 2. The Railway to Heaven.
Not this life, a mountain railroad with an engineer that's great. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curse that fills the tunnel. Never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore. That the angels wait to join us in the praise forevermore. You alone the praise of trial, you will cross the bridge of strife. See, the Yahshua is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstruction, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle, your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, help me reach that blissful shore, that the angels may teach on us, and God praise forevermore. He will often find obstruction, the first dawn, and wind and rain, on a fill, a curve or trestle, they will almost ditch your train. Put your trust alone in Yahshua, never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle, and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, the rock and earth. Can we reach that blissful shore that the angels went to join us in our praise forevermore? As she rode across the trestle, standing joy and swelling tide, do you behold the Union Depot, into which your train will glide? Will you meet the superintendent, the honor the Father with the Son, that the heart is joyous flooded? Welcome, pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Help me reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in our praise